Our first keynote is with 3M, Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. I'm dating myself a little bit, but I covered 3M from 1994 to 2002 as a sell-side analyst at Citi. 3M is a highly diversified company in terms of the businesses in which it operates and the global presence that it has. The company offers leading brands and products in the industrial, safety and graphics, electronics and energy, healthcare, and consumer sectors. Management is driving performance through, among other things, a focus on portfolio management, consistent investment in research and development, business transformation initiatives, and capital structure optimization. Tell us more about that strategy. I'm very pleased to introduce 3M CFO Nick Gangstad. Nick has been with 3M since 1987, starting as a systems analyst in finance. He worked his way up by gaining experience in a variety of divisions and regions. He's worked in healthcare, abrasives, accounting, and finance, and his career has included roles in Latin America, Asia Pacific, Canada, and of course, St. Paul. Nick became 3M's corporate controller and chief accounting officer in 2011. He took on his current position as senior vice president and chief financial officer this year. So, Nick, thank you very much. There we are. Nick, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today. For today's session, we're going to begin with a brief presentation by Nick, followed by a fireside chat. Tobias Lefkovich, Citi's U.S. Chief Equity Strategist, will moderate that discussion. Tobias has been with the firm for more than 25 years, serving in the strategy role since 2001. And while well-known for accurate tactical views on the market, Tobias previously was a highly regarded fundamental analyst for 13 years, and he covered the engineering, construction, and machinery industries, so he knows the industrial very well. He is broadly recognized for his investment recommendations and deep analysis. So, Tobias, thank you for joining today's discussion. With all that said, let me go to Nick. Nick, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good afternoon, everyone, and I appreciate the opportunity to share some insights about 3M. Before I start on that, Jonathan, I do need to correct you. This probably happened after you stopped covering 3M, but we are no longer Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing. We did have an official name change to 3M. The mining part kept confusing people, so we eliminated that name. I would ask that you do take some time to review our statement on forward-looking statements. Can't go into a presentation on this without asking you to be aware that there are risks in what we're saying as I talk about 3M and its future. 2.5 years ago, 3M announced its new vision for what we were going to do as a company, and you see that in front of you. 3M technology advancing every company, 3M products enhancing every home, 3M innovation improving every life. Pretty lofty goals for a company like 3M. And if you look at those verbs in our vision, advancing, enhancing, improving, that really captures the way 3M thinks about itself and the impact it can have on the world. We do that through our technology, taking those technologies, finding innovation, and developing products that solve solutions for our customers. We do that in a corporate setting where we're doing that for other companies, where the products and the tools and the supplies that companies use to make their companies better. In our homes, the way you communicate via a post-it note or tape to hold something in place or something to clean your home, ways to enhance the experiences in our home as well as lives. 3M has a healthcare business and a safety business about improving our lives, improving the health and quality of our lives. All of those part of our vision. At the same time we laid out that vision, 3M also laid out 6 strategies to unify our approach to how we were going to achieve that vision. The first 4 of those strategies, which I'm not going to cover, were about growth and different ways 3M is going to achieve growth. There was one of those strategies around developing our people, having the right talent so that we have the people in place now and in the future in order to deliver on those strategies and on that vision. And then finally, being able to operationally deliver what our customers and the markets expect of us in a cost-effective manner. So those are the six strategies 3M set out 2.5 years ago. 3M's made up of five businesses that each are large enough to have the scale and relevance in the markets we're serving, but positioned in a way to be intimate with those customers and providing the solutions we think they need. When we announced this group structure a couple years ago, we also announced over the long term, over the next 5 years, how do we see each of those five businesses growing? And this is part of an overall view that in the next 5 years, 3M would grow organically 4-6%. Some businesses growing similar to that, others more volatile. So for instance, our electronics and energy business, we saw and continue to see over that 5 year time horizon, that business growing 3-7%, partly depending on what happens with the electronics market and 3M's penetration into that market. Other businesses, higher growth. 3M's presence in the healthcare industry we see as having opportunity for accelerated growth. And other businesses consistent with what we see as with economic growth in the coming years in the globe. 3M, for those of you that know 3M, probably have been struck by the kinds of operating margins 3M generates and the return on invested capital that 3M generates. We internally look at that as well, and we've boiled that down to what are the four things that we think have consistently enabled 3M to deliver the types of margins and the types of return on capital that we have. The first is our technology. And almost any company can say they have technology. Part of what 3M sees in our technology and why we call it a strength is two aspects. First, how we share technology. Across the company, multiple businesses, multiple markets, sharing technology and taking technology in one part of 3M and applying it in another market space. That's one aspect. The second in technology is combining technologies in ways that we think competitors are unable to do. Combining two or three technologies to solve a customer issue or problem that no one else can. The second strength that we see delivering the financial results that 3M has consistently been able to do is our manufacturing technology. That our manufacturing presence and capability, we're able to share that across 3M's markets and our businesses. We can take that manufacturing capability, usually proprietary, and use it to a competitive advantage to make products as cheaply and as effectively as we can. Third fundamental strength, our global capability. 3M has built over many decades a geographic capability in over 70 countries that allows our business model to effectively take a strategy and deploy that globally quicker than we think most of our competitors can. And then finally, the 3M brand. 3M, a brand like 3M implies a promise to a customer. Keeping that promise that our brand delivers is also part of the fundamental strength that allows 3M to deliver the margins and the return on invested capital that it has over time, as well as the organic growth that 3M has been delivering. In addition to those fundamental strengths, we in 3M see more recently three key levers that we're driving to add even more shareholder value. The first is portfolio management, which I'll speak about in a moment. Second is investing more in research and development, investing in innovation. And then finally, business transformation, changing the way we do our processes in 3M. And each of these I'll speak in more detail about. The first is portfolio management. 3M's had a portfolio of approximately 30 divisions, 30 to 35 divisions for years. part of our strategy in managing our portfolio is not to treat each of those divisions the same. Some represent better opportunities than others. Some are more strategically important to 3M than others. And as we look at how we manage that portfolio, we manage that portfolio through categories. One category is our push forward. Those are businesses in 3M that we see exceptional opportunity to be gaining market share and accelerating our growth. Those are ones we're investing the most in right now. Second is our heartland businesses. These are businesses that 3M has played a had a long track record of success, and they're businesses that 3M's committed to win in every geography of the world. Third category I highlight here is strategic review. Those are businesses that have not been generating as attractive shareholder returns as the rest of the 3M portfolio, nor are they as strategically important to 3M. Part of our process in managing that portfolio has been to look at how can we maximize the value 3M can get from each of those components. When we first announced this, we had a little over $2 billion of our $30 billion in strategic review. Part of the process has been going through different opportunities to improve those results. That can include fixing. What is it that's broken in this business that we can do, that we can fix and make it a profitable part of the 3M portfolio? Could be combining it, where if part of the problem was relevant to our end customer, do we combine it with another 3M business to make it more relevant and resume growth and good financial return. Ultimately, some of these can involve divestiture, but we have to be convinced that our ability to add shareholder value is not exceeded by the shareholder value that would be obtained by taking it out of the portfolio. The second lever I talked about was increasing R&D investment. In 2012, 3M was investing 5.5% of revenue in research and development. Over the next 5 years, starting in 2012, our objective is to move that to approximately 6% of our revenue being invested in research and development. Part of that extra investment is being targeted towards longer-term disruptive technologies that we think can change the basis of competition in some of the markets we're competing in. Part of how we measure how we're performing in our innovation in 3M is something we call the New Product Vitality Index. It's measuring what percentage of our revenue is coming from products that have been introduced in the last 5 years. As of last year, 1/3 of 3M sales came from products that had been introduced in the last 5 years. The third key lever is business transformation. 3M has historically had a number of IT platforms in the company, different 3M companies, different 3M geographies, subsidiaries could have different IT platforms in running their processes. Historically, that had served 3M well. As our customers have become more global, having a global IT platform that better services our customers has been a initiative that 3M has been working on. Business transformation is changing our processes and our IT systems to better align with our customers and improve our operational efficiency. We're in the midst of that initiative right now. 3M's a business that generates quite a bit of cash, and 3M has a track record of returning quite a bit of that cash to our shareholders. Our first priority is investing organically in our business, how we're investing in research and development, how we're investing in our capital in order to increase our ability to grow organically. But on top of that, we have a commitment to be returning cash to our shareholders. In December of 2013, 3M announced a 35% increase in its dividend, and that was the 56th year of a consecutive increases in dividends on the part of 3M, of dividend increases. In addition, 3M is returning cash to shareholders through share buyback. We announced a year ago that we expect from 2013 to 2017 that 3M will be buying back between $17 and $22 billion of our stock. We have a long track record of returning cash to our shareholders, and we expect that to continue. In November 2012, 3M announced new financial objectives. We had financial objectives before that were similar to what I'm showing here, but we took some time in 2012 to update those. And our four financial objectives, clear, but we think a right balance between being aggressive, but with the credibility and track record that we see them also as realistic. First, delivering 9 to 11% earnings per share growth over the next 5 years each year. Second, organic growth of 4 to 6% is how we see ourselves competing and winning in this market, and having the business model that can deliver that type of organic growth. Thirdly, generating returns on invested capital of approximately 20%, which is consistent with a longer-term view of 3M. And then finally, generating approximately 100% free cash flow conversion. 3M's business model is such that in years of economic growth, we're generating a little below 100%, and in times of economic contraction, we're generating higher than 100% free cash flow conversion. Second quarter another demonstration of 3M achieving those financial objectives that we had laid out. We announced for the second quarter 11.7% earnings per share growth with organic growth of 4.8%. Operating income growth, our operating income margins at 22.8%, up 80 basis points from the quarter 1 year before. We had every business in 3M generating greater than a 20% operating income margin, and we had 103% free cash flow conversion. And it was also a quarter in which we announced the acquisition of the remaining 25% of our operations in Japan, our Sumitomo 3M subsidiary in Japan. And I'll just cover a little bit on that transaction. 3M started operations with Sumitomo 3M in over 50 years ago. And at that time, it was a three-way joint venture, Sumitomo Electric, NEC, and 3M. Approximately 11 years ago, 3M bought out NEC's portion, and at that point owned 75% of this company in Japan. And then in the middle of this year, we closed the deal on September 1. We completed the purchase of the last 25% from Sumitomo Electric, bringing 3M to 100% ownership of this company. We project that this will create an additional 8 cents on an annualized basis of earnings per share. 3M already had fully consolidated these operations. 3M was controlling these operations, but we saw it as a good opportunity, a good return, and a good use of our international cash to buy out the remaining 25% of this joint venture. That concludes the prepared remarks I have, and with that, Tobias and I will spend a few minutes talking. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I get to hog some questions first, and then we have the ability for some others to join as well, and I can see how much time we have. So you're in trouble. There's 43 minutes of questions. Do we want to get him something a little sharper to drink besides water? Okay. Let me start with some macro issues. Clearly, in terms of 3M's global reach, you operate in a variety of sectors and geographies around the world. And can you give us some sense, because I think a lot of investors have been struggling really globally. I was in Europe 2 weeks ago. As to business trends around the world, what you guys are seeing, given your reach between the U.S., Europe, LATAM, China is certainly in the news overnight. Markets down because of concerns about Chinese growth, and clearly developing regions are an important element of your growth strategy.
Tobias, if I just take a walk around the globe for a couple minutes, and I'll start in the United States, our view of the United States, the economy, and what 3M is experiencing has been quite consistent with our view as we started the year. We thought we'd have economic growth and that it would be a tailwind in helping us grow, and throughout 2014, we've been seeing that, and we really don't see any warning signs of the U.S. slowing down right now. If I move to Western Europe, what we're seeing in 3M is we started the year with a expectation of 3M's growth to be 0 to 3% organic growth. We continue to see that as an expectation for growth. From an economy perspective, we are now expecting the first half of the year of the growth in the economy to be stronger than what we're expecting of the economic growth in Western Europe for the second half. And that's a bit different from what we were expecting at the beginning of the year. We were planning for economic growth in Western Europe to climb as the year went on, and we're no longer expecting that. If I jump down to Latin America, that's the one area of the world where we have changed 3M's expectations of performance. We started the year expecting our own performance to be 8 to 11% organic local currency growth. And for a while for the year, it looked promising, but finally what we saw in Brazil in the second quarter led us to the conclusion that 8 to 11 is not a reasonable expectation for us to grow in for the total year, and we guided down that we expect now mid-single-digit growth for 3M in Latin America. Brazil is the single biggest change in how we're seeing things there. On the converse, though, Mexico continues to be a growth driver for 3M. We've seen good growth in the first half of the year, and we continue to be optimistic about our opportunities in Mexico. If I move to Asia, we experienced in Japan the same phenomenon that many companies faced with the impact of the value-added tax on April 1 and high growth in the first quarter. We had projections, a range of projections for what could happen in Japan in the second quarter, and we were pleased to see that we did continue to grow in the second quarter despite, at that time, what we felt was some acceleration of sales from second quarter into first quarter. We're still collecting data points on what to really expect in Japan right now, Tobias. And then finally, China, we don't see the economy as a strong propellant for growth for 3M. In China, certainly not as strong as it has been several years ago. That said, we do have some pockets within 3M that are growing nicely in China. Industries such as healthcare, where 3M competes, or products or industries where we're involved in personal safety, or the air people breathe, the water that people drink, those are areas where we are seeing growth in China.
Okay, I just want to go back to your point about Europe versus the U.S., where you've seen kind of a deceleration in your view for the second half of Europe. Have you seen any improvement or an acceleration in the view in the U.S., or has it been just really steady as she goes?
I would call the U.S., what we're seeing as far as economic growth, fairly steady throughout the year. I can't say I'm seeing an acceleration.
Okay. And let's take that a step further, only because of the business trends will also affect pricing trends, competitive dynamics. I'm not sure if I'm going to tell you to make the entire tour around the world, but if you can give us some sense of what you're seeing in terms of your ability to put in prices, what the resistance to it is from your customers as well as from competitors.
In the first half of the year, 3M has posted a slightly over 1% price growth 1.2-1.3% approximately. That's a component of two things. First of all, approximately half of that is really a function of what's happened with currencies in developing markets. In many of the developing markets that we compete in, where those currencies have weakened, 3M has the pricing power to be able to raise prices, and approximately half of our price growth is a direct result of those developing market price changes. The other half is more widespread across all of our businesses, reflecting our ability to demonstrate the value of 3M's product. And so if you take half of 120 basis points, roughly 60 basis points of what we consider true, real pricing.
Is that, again, better than what you've been seeing? Is it consistent?
That's quite consistent with our track record the last couple of years, Tobias.
How does that compare to, A, currencies that might be working against you, dollar and euro, for example? And does that take it away from, you don't bring the bottom to the bottom line? And secondly, besides the currency benefit and then potential pullback, are there regional aspects to this? In other words, do you get, is anything happening in the U.S. versus Europe on price?
A couple points. First of all, when I mentioned price growth, I mentioned our ability to price based on devaluations in developing.
Okay.
We don't really see that in developed markets. If the yen or the euro moves 10 percentage points, it's not our nature and it's not a function of those markets that pricing adjusts to the same level as it does in developing. Pricing, so if I were to put in perspective, this is not quite what you were asking, but if I were a 10% move in the euro, is roughly a 17 to 18 cent annualized impact to 3M's earnings per share when we take into account our ability or lack of ability to raise price to offset it, and we look at our total exposure. Approximately 7 to 8 of those cents are offset by hedging. So the 3M strategy to hedge approximately 50% of our economic exposure to those currencies. So that puts in
by going into the futures markets.
Exactly. As far as differences we're seeing in pricing geographically, we do see price growth in the U.S. Equal to or greater than what we're seeing for the globe. But I would call it generally widespread where we're able to see our price growth.
Let me take this dollar issue a little bit further, or the currency issue a little bit further. While you hedge 50% in active contracts, how much hedging do you have that are natural hedging? In other words, you can shift production sources, shift your input, shift where you're sourcing product from outside vendors, things like that.
These numbers I'm quoting are after any natural hedging we
okay.
have. So, as an example, our company in Japan is a source of supply for other companies. So a movement in the yen has a negative impact on Japan's results, but a positive impact on other parts of the world. So everything I quote is a natural hedge after the natural hedge has been taken into account. And there's a short-term and a long-term nature to that, Tobias. It's not in our nature to shift from one month to another a source of supply, but when we see a sustained trend after a number of quarters, we do have the capability of moving manufacturing to a more advantageous location.
One would expect that your competitors aren't standing still either.
Exactly.
When this is happening.
Exactly.
Let me shift a little bit more micro, which gets to things like expense trends, what you're seeing in your labor costs, your input costs at 3M. Certainly there is this view, at least, but there is, and I think you've tried to highlight it as one of the strategic goals, to make sure you have the right talent, and that can get costly. And my boss is in the room, so I wanted to, wanted to hear that.
I'm frequently asked that question, Tobias, about what we're seeing in the labor market. And to be honest, we're really not seeing that significant of a change in our labor cost trends around the world. The places where we're accustomed to higher increases in wages, we're continuing to see it. If I go into the U.S. market, we are... The trends we're seeing are very consistent with the trends we've seen the last couple of years for wage increases.
And on the benefit side?
On the benefit side, one of our more significant benefit expenses is 3M's pension. And for the last 2 years, that's been a tailwind for 3M as we've seen our pension defined benefit pension expense decline. Not sure I can with confidence say that that will sustain into 2015. You can tell me what the where the interest rates will be at the end of the year. I can give you a fairly good sign.
I can give you a guess.
We do see it shifting from a tailwind to a headwind in 2015. It's also been part of 3M's strategy with our defined benefit plan that we've been shifting, closing the majority of the plans for new entrances into our defined benefit plan. So we're reaching a point where the majority of the increase in our liability is behind us.
And then just some sense of gauge, when you say it could become a little bit of a headwind, is we're talking a penny or two a share, or are we talking...
It's been a tailwind. It's a tailwind of between 10 and 15 cents each of the last 2 years, and I see this shifting to be a retrenchment of some of that gain that we've seen.
Of that magnitude, though, or?
A lot can change. The two things that it will be impacting, that interest rates, discount rates, which impact everyone, I believe, that has a defined benefit. The second, in the U.S., is a potential change to the mortality table, which will also have a negative impact of increasing the expense we 3M recognizes in 2015. We'll say more about that in the third quarter call in October and in our earnings outlook in December.
And what about on the input cost side, other than labor, raw material, transport costs, things like that?
3M's been in a position where we have been seeing a net benefit from our input costs. We've been seeing benefits in the market itself. We've been seeing benefits in 3M's ability to price, to take price in that market, to extract benefits there. We've also been seeing benefits in our ability to substitute products to extract even more price benefit. So this has been part of the margin expansion that 3M has seen in 2014. And it's pretty widespread where we are seeing that.
Do you see that as carrying as well into 2015? Or
we expect that to continue to be a benefit into 2015.
In terms of some of the strategic decisions, that you put up the chart of kind of the heartland, the
right.
Potential divestments, those kind of things. When you look at the M&A environment, well, actually, let me start with the idea of you have a variety of potential uses for your cash, and you highlighted a few of them. Is there any shifting going on in terms of management thinking between M&A, capital spending, buybacks, dividends? Is there some adjustments you're making? We survey our clients as to what they're hearing from management, and we're hearing more people talking about M&A, and it's not because there were three deals announced overnight.
Tobias, not a large change, but I will talk about tweaks in the last couple of years. First of all, when it comes to investing our cash in the organic business, I already talked about the increase in research and development as the use of our cash. Capital spending remains a high priority for 3M to maintain our manufacturing technology competitive advantage that we feel we have. for 2014, that happens to be a year where we're planning to spend just a little bit less on CapEx than where we started the year. And that's really a function of us having a little more success than we had planned in being able to improve the utilization and capacity of our existing equipment. And so some people are wondering, is it really because revenue, is it a conservative approach or not? Our story on CapEx and the shift down that we're expecting is really a function of some successes we're having rather than any disappointments. As far as capital going into the rest of the business, M&A remains a key part of our strategy. From 2013 to 2017, we're estimating between $5 and $10 billion to be invested in M&A. Active pipelines in all of 3M's businesses looking at this. The market is one where there is a lot of interest. It's also a market I characterize as feeling somewhat expensive right now. And then also returning cash to shareholders through dividends and share buybacks, which I talked about during the presentation.
Let me go back to the M&A side. There's been you haven't quite said it, but I'm going to put words in your mouth. The pricing is starting to get a little frothier. How much do you think that's a function of this financing cost of doing it that becomes so attractive? And, you know, and people might be worried that that's going to change in the next year or two, and I better move now before it costs me more. And again, when you're thinking about your own planning, that's got to enter it to some degree.
Clearly, that's a piece of it. And as we work through our pipeline, work through potential deals, we can see it from our perspective, but we can also see it from the people we're bidding against in deals, how that's impacting their valuation. We take a little longer view of how we look at M&A, and we're looking for opportunities to strengthen our business organically. So we want the right fit. We want something that enhances those four value drivers that I talked about early on, that brings in technology, so that 3M technology can add value, that it takes advantage of our geographic presence, or that it will help us there, or manufacturing capacity, or that the 3M brand, that we can use that 3M brand to extract more value, more synergies out of it. So that's the way we're approaching it, and we're still confident that we're in the range of the $5 to $10 billion over the 5 years that we'll be deployed on this.
Is the competition that you're seeing for potential targets primarily strategic buyers such as yourselves, or is it financial buyers?
Yeah, I don't think I'd say that there's a bias one direction or the other. We're seeing both strategic and financial buyers as our primary. It's a pretty even balance.
Is that across the various businesses you look at? Or?
Yeah, if I were to differentiate it, I'd be making it up on the spot. So I'll say it's pretty evenly balanced.
See, that's the secret to my career. So one of the things you put up that really struck me was the idea of the ROIC of 20% for the investment decisions. And I guess when corporations, particularly of your size, look at the variety of programs in front of you that you can invest in, it's maybe I'm being a little harsh, but it almost seems like there's not going to be that many that are sitting at 20, 25. You know, if 20 is kind of the hurdle rate, you're going to be looking at 25 to 30s and stuff like that. There just can't be that many. And I guess when you look at that, you know, for a bunch of different projects that your people bring to you, you know, is it 20, 25% of the cash can get there and generate that type of return? And this is an issue for a lot of companies, not just
yourself. Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Tobias. It allows me to clarify. Don't think of 20% as a hurdle rate that goes into every investment decision 3M makes. That's an objective for the total company, for us to be able to achieve approximately 20% return on invested capital. As we look at the businesses and our opportunities for investment, given our real cost of capital, can we generate and can we generate shareholder value from these investments? The 20% is a composite of all of our activity. Part of that would be taking a business that's generating a 25 or 30% return on invested capital and moving it to an even higher our return on invested capital through the way we manage productivity or other enhancements.
And is there an element of leverage that's also going in there? In other words, I was reading one of your prior presentations showing that there's at least some, maybe I'm reading it incorrectly, so you'll correct me, but it seems that there's an inherent desire to bring the debt and the capitalization up a bit from current levels.
We, talking our balance sheet now, we saw the opportunity to create a balance sheet that where we could optimize our cost of capital. We went from a position where we were virtually 100% equity to a increase our leverage slightly, adding some debt to our balance sheet to lower our overall cost of capital. And the strength of our business model and our ability to consistently generate cash, we felt confident that we could do that in a way that we're not exposing our investors to any significant risk on that front.
So what type of level are you comfortable taking that leverage to?
We are, this year as an example, we're increasing our debt from $2 to $4 billion, and we expect that debt level to be going up in the coming years. That we expect that we can increase that debt level but still stay in a low AA debt rating. We're not projecting to go beyond that at this point.
And for those of us who don't work for S&P, is that like a 20% type leverage, or just some sense of what that level might be?
We have a debt to EBITDA ratio of approximately 1. We can see that going to 1.25, 1.5.
I'm just going to ask if anybody has any questions out there. I have a few more, but in case anybody does have a question or two, I'll have any crap.
If you could just talk to us a little bit about what's happened in Japan. Obviously, you've taken 100% of the ownership of the asset. What's the opportunity in this market? What are the challenges now that you're 100% owner and no longer have these equity partners? And then if you could come back to Brazil and contrast Brazil versus Mexico for us. And just, we obviously understand what's happening economically between those two markets, but specific to your businesses, if you could just kind of drill down.
In the case of Japan, I want to make this clear. Our Japan operations were, prior to this acquisition, our last 25% acquisition, 100% run by 3M management. So we're not going through an integration of the last 25%. It's changing and eliminating the minority interest or non-controlling interest that we were recognizing. Both 3M and Sumitomo Electric had looked at, are there synergies in how we operate together? We each came to the conclusion that there wasn't a synergy of us staying together, and then this became a financial decision at that point. Challenges in Japan going forward is the growth in the economy there. What's ultimately going to happen? As we look at our valuation of that, we've been very conservative in what we estimate for the growth in that economy, and still from that standpoint, a very attractive investment opportunity for 3M, even in a low to no growth environment. In the case of Brazil versus Mexico, we are seeing contraction in the industrial parts of Brazil. That production is not increasing, and that's impacting our business in Brazil. In contrast, in Mexico, we're seeing growth in industrial production, and we are seeing increased amounts of activity and opportunity, especially in the maquiladora section of Mexico, that we see opportunities there for 3M to continue to grow on an accelerated basis.
You talked about the vitality index that you're tracking and the new products that come out of there, and you talked about those as a percent of revenue. Can you speak to those as a percent of profit dollars, and then also how that group of products also looks on a margin basis compared to the other products?
We don't officially measure the profit on those same on that same amount of revenue. In the first few years, it would likely be less than the total than the profit levels that we're generating on the other 67% of our revenue, partly from a startup and getting going, but that would it would be wrong to take a blanket statement on that, because many of those are the very places where innovation is redefining the market and allowing us to reap some of the value that we're creating for the market. We do see that new product vitality index as part of the long-term ability of 3M to be able to generate those margins. By reinventing the product line, enhancing that product line, it allows us to have a product flow that our customers value, and we can price accordingly. If we didn't have that type of new product flow, we run the risk we become a commodity in some of the markets we serve and face a price down spiral, and reinventing ourselves as part of that strategy.
Let's talk about the flexibility in your manufacturing operations. Obviously, your CapEx coming in a little lower because of improved efficiencies, or maybe there's a little bit of conservatism in that CapEx guidance. But is that something that's repeatable over the next few years, and if so, how much?
Can you repeat the last part of that question?
How repeatable do you think the manufacturing efficiencies that you've seen over the past year are in the upcoming few years?
We've typically had CapEx run approximately 5% of revenue, and I think that's a pretty good estimate going forward as well for 3M. So I wouldn't model in this year's CapEx estimate as a new benchmark. The first part of your question about the... Can you repeat the first part? I'm sorry.
It's just the manufacturing efficiency.
Yeah, manufacturing efficiency. Part of how I would describe 3M's manufacturing capability is we tend to share manufacturing amongst our businesses. So what that means is we'll have a manufacturing site that can produce multiple 3M products. That gives us the capability when one product is growing or declining to be able to shift production amongst many products. Or if we choose to exit a product line, it's very common that we can redeploy that asset to another 3M product line that can use that technology. So I would call it a fairly nimble, flexible manufacturing base that's part of the efficiency we have there.
Well, let me go with one other one on. I was reading in one of your prior presentations about your tax strategy to bring down the tax rate over time without incurring the wrath of Jack Lew and the administration. How sustainable do you think that process is before there's some adjustments to policy? And I'm assuming this is about the internationalization of your business, et cetera, in lower tax regions, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, part of our strategy around taxes, first of all, we do bring back some cash every year from our international operations. We bring that back, and it's factored into our tax rate now and into the future, an expectation that some of our cash we generate outside the United States comes back in. What you've probably read about our tax strategy is as we look at how we change our operations. So in 2014, as an example, was part of an operational strategy to consolidate the way we manage our supply chain in Western Europe. And we created an organization that manages our supply chain for Western Europe all out of one country, managing the production and the meeting of customer needs around all of Western Europe, or all of EMEA for us. And the result of that is also has an impact of impacting our tax rate and lowering our tax rate. We also have manufacturing assets and sites in tax-advantaged parts of the world, and ensuring that we have the maximum utilization of those assets as part of our tax strategy. Part of a tax strategy moving us from roughly a 29% tax rate a couple years ago to approximately a 27% tax rate by 2017.
Nick, just in the theme of dating myself earlier, I remember from years ago that there used to be segments that, you know, occasionally would just have a propensity to outperform, and segments from a product level that have a propensity to underperform. If you were to look ahead over the next 12 months, what do you think of the product areas? We've talked a lot about regional, but from a product area perspective, which ones do you think have the greatest potential to outperform? Which ones do you think have the greatest risk of potential to underperform?
We're in a period right now where we are enjoying fairly uniform organic volume growth across all five of our segments. We're seeing, if I use second quarter as an example, all of them within a band of 1%, within 1% of each other for organic growth. If you looked at our over the next 2 or 3 years, the ranges we're projecting, it's not a significant deviation across the five segments. That said, healthcare is one that I continue to expect that is going to grow slightly more than the total company average as we think about our portfolio and building that presence in our companies around the world. So healthcare is one I'd call out on that front. On the positive, I really don't see one as a noticeable risk of significantly underperforming the total company average.
Can I take that one step further, this gentleman here, which is, of the various segments, where do you see the competition being the fiercest?
Across the world, we see in all five segments. I'll talk through a few of those, Tobias. So, electronics and energy, as an example. That can be a feast or famine world, depending on whether we are spec'd in this year's model in a particular OEM electronic manufacturer's world. So that's a highly competitive world. It also is part of the strategies that 3M's been undertaking in the last 2 years of ensuring that we are relevant to our customers. Ensuring that we are aligned with our customers in that industry, that we are have the capability of meeting their needs and providing solutions as part of how we think about whether we're going to be successful in that market. But in a competitive world like that, it doesn't take much to be designed out of next year's model. It doesn't take much to be designed into next year's model. So that's always competitive. The healthcare world, we consider always competitive. It's about gaining share for healthcare is going to continue to be an important part of the world, and we do see that as a competitive world and one where think we have the technologies and the products to compete well in. But Tobias, I think I'd be misleading you to say, unless I left you with, we think all of our business groups are ones where we're facing competition at a high degree of competition each year.
Thanks. Could you just, I
last 5 years? A couple things. Just I'll use a couple examples, and coming from different ways. And it will be in a world you'd never expect. Abrasives, and some of you may have heard me talk about this before. Abrasives, a type of industry that you would think, how can there actually be any kind of new innovation in something like sandpaper? But taking our micro-replication technology, taking our ceramic technology and creating new types of abrasives that, rather than wearing down and losing their ability to smooth things for our customers, that as it gets used, the edge breaks off of a precision-shaped grain and creates a new sharp edge each time it's being used, that thus extending the life of sandpaper much longer than it has before. That's an example of 3M innovation, combining technologies and creating value for our customer. In the infection prevention area, this would be an example of using M&A. Infection prevention, an important factor that can raise healthcare costs if infection is not managed well. Our analysis said managing a patient's temperature is an important part of keeping healthcare costs down and managing the risk of infection. So 3M made an acquisition of a company that's in the patient warming business, that as the patient is having a procedure done, warm air is being circulated over that patient to keep them warm, part of the clinical outcome of reducing the risk of infection for that patient. That's a couple examples I'd highlight.
Any other questions? With the risk of being abrasive, I'm going to take a non-innovative question, which is, it's one that I used to love asking management teams when I was still covering individual companies, is what does really make you lose sleep at night when it comes to the business? I asked this once to a CEO of an agricultural equipment company who said, the dog barking at night. So let's leave that out and refer to the business specifically.
The types of things that keep me up at night are continuing to improve and deliver each of those value drivers and levers that I talked about. So the three levers I talked about, managing our portfolio, managing our investment in innovation, managing business transformation. Those are the initiatives that get a high percentage of my attention. And they're part of the things that are going to drive our value higher, and if managed poorly, have the ability to not increase shareholder value. Those are the things I think about.
Any last questions? One more.
Thanks. Has the company's ability to deliver short-term financial results improved over the past, say, 3 to 5 years, or has it remained essentially the same? And is this something that you feel the company needs? Is this objective something that you need, that you feel that the company needs? In other words, is it strategically important for the long-term creation of shareholder value to be able to be very consistent in delivering the annual forecast?
The ability to deliver the annual forecast, the single biggest thing I would say that's changed from now versus 5-6 years ago is even more prioritization. So when it comes to how 3M delivers its financial results, it's with a focus of knowing where our priorities are and our focus, and if anything is going off track, knowing what we're going to keep the accelerator on full speed and which are the things that we will stop or slow down on. That's, when when it comes to the short-term ability to deliver results, that's the biggest change I've seen from 5 years ago. I can see a follow-up question there.
I guess I don't fully understand your response. When you say your prioritization of, we're working on R&D projects.
And the prioritization meaning, if we're in a year in which the economy isn't going to help us, knowing we can still deliver results by saying, these are the things we're not going to slow down at all, but having in our portfolio of things, these are the things we can tap on to produce more value to help 3M deliver those results. That's having that portfolio of things to draw on gives us that capability to deliver short-term results in multiple economic scenarios or business scenarios.
So is that a function of systems that you know on a day-by-day basis? Where the business is at any moment, and so where you can nip and tuck, as it were, as you're going along?
At any given time, clear insight on what we see happening in the company, but also, as we talked about that, as I talked about the prioritization in the company, when we see things not going the way we want, knowing how we're going to react and where we're going to react, that we're better equipped.
There's a structure to do that.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, one more. Monday and then
we'll good.
Go there. Go there. No, go there. Go there. Or not.
Thanks, Nick. Just following up very quickly on Mike's comment or question. Would that suggest then that the correlation that the company's volumes have with it, used to be historically the correlation between U.S. volumes and U.S. industrial production would be 90%. As a result of the things that you mentioned, the prioritization, the ability to leverage the portfolio better, has that correlation come down so that the business is more stable around the business cycle?
I can't say we've quantitatively seen a shift from that correlation. We still do see our organic growth tie correlated closely to industrial production. That's our single biggest external metric that we correlate to. As we continue with our strategy, we do see some potential for growth that can we grow faster. We've had a long track record. If we look over the last 10, 12 years, that we have demonstrated the ability to grow 40 to 50% faster than the industrial production index. Part of these strategies we talk about within 3M are focused on, can we move that multiple even higher? And whether we can or not will be a function of our success in those first four strategies I laid out.
Okay. I'm being given the hook. Nick, they're going to be nicer to you. Thank you very much for joining us today and for your patience with my questions.
Thanks.